And we welcome you into this August 2023 edition of Business Spotlight featuring UPMC Hammond on Money Radio WPSE. Every month we showcase the amazing physicians, staff, and world-class healthcare that's available to us here in Erie at UPMC Hammond. Today we're joined by Dr. Jean Mubarak, a cardiologist at UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute. Dr. Mubarak, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Doctor, we always start off the show by giving you the opportunity to share with our listeners the path that led you to join the UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute. Give us some details about that.
Sure. What I did, you know, I initially did my medical studies in a French university. Then I trained at Georgetown University Hospital in Washington, D.C. I finished my cardiology fellowship and EP fellowship there. Then I came to Erie, where I worked at the VA hospital for 3 years, after which I joined Hammett. At that time, it was Hammett only, because they had a very large cardiovascular service, and I wanted to practice my electrophysiology. And then, obviously, when UPMC bought Hammett, I became a member of the UPMC larger family. And that's why I'm here.
So you've had to have seen amazing growth there throughout your career, the way that you just described it.
Yes, I did.
I'll bet. Dr. Mubarak, I don't know if the public in Erie is aware of the UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute and the fact that it is one of the world's premier centers for comprehensive cardiovascular care. Can you tell us about the conditions and care that are available at the Institute?
We are a comprehensive cardiovascular center, and we offer treatment for a large variety of cardiac condition. I'm not going to give you a lot of details, otherwise we'll be here for a long time. But in summary, we cover everything from preventive cardiology, which means taking care of conditions to prevent heart disease, to conditions leading to blocked arteries leading to heart attacks, and we treat that if that happens, with different interventions such as stenting or angioplasty. And we also treat congestive heart failure with different regimens, including medication, but also devices. In addition, we treat all kinds of electrical problems of the heart. This is where I specialize. It's called cardiac electrophysiology, including irregular heartbeat and cardiac arrest and defibrillators and so forth. Plus, we have a very large service in cardiovascular surgery, which use surgery to fix heart disease, such as blocked arteries and vascular and valvular disease. So it's pretty wide.
Yeah, that's a wide array indeed. Doctor, let's discuss two of those cardiac events and have you give kind of a compare and contrast between a massive heart attack and, as you just mentioned a few moments ago, cardiac arrest.
A massive heart attack happens when there is a blocked artery going to the heart. So whenever an artery supplying blood to the heart is blocked by high cholesterol or by any clotting factor, it leads to a drop in oxygen delivery to the heart. That leads to a heart attack. We call it massive if it's a large area. That's essentially what leads to a massive heart attack, which is just a lack of oxygen. Acute loss of blood to the heart. Cardiac arrest essentially is a very serious arrhythmia problem. We call it ventricular fibrillation or ventricular tachycardia, which will lead to the patient passing out or worse, dying suddenly. That's why we call it a sudden cardiac arrest. Now, most frequently we have heart attacks, which can lead to a cardiac arrest. So sometimes they come together, but also some other times they are separate entities.
Great information there, Doctor. Thank you for sharing that. Let's discuss technology. Share with us a little bit about the revolutionary medical devices available at the UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you a couple of, there's so many of them, but I can choose two examples. From the electrophysiology standpoint, we deal with a rhythm problem called atrial fibrillation. And atrial fibrillation is very common, actually epidemic. And the risk of having this rhythm increases with age. with any heart disease, such as high blood pressure, diabetes, overweight, sleep apnea, and so forth. And this rhythm can cause either a weakness in the heart, or the most important thing, it can cause a stroke. So in order to prevent a stroke, for years we've been using blood thinners. We give the patients who have atrial fibrillation blood thinners, but every now and then we have trouble with the blood thinners, such as the patient can bleed and cannot take the blood thinner. So what we've been doing over the last few years is called the Watchman device. It's a small device that we use to implant inside the left side of the heart. And that device by itself can prevent a stroke without the patient taking a blood thinner. So this is one of the most recent advances we're using. Another example I can give you of all the ablation technique for the same rhythm problem, atrial fibrillation, or other rhythm problem, we've been using what we call radio frequency energy, which is heat, but also we've been using cryo-freezing energy, which is cold, to get rid of these rhythms in different settings. So that's on the electrical side. On the other side, I can give you an example on the surgical side when people used to have valve disease, such as their valve needs to be replaced, like an aortic valve in the heart. If you go back a few years ago, if somebody had a valve disease like aortic stenosis, when the valve is very tight, you had to have surgery, spend a few days in the hospitals, have a scar in your chest, etc. Now we do what we call TAVR, T-A-V-R, which essentially replacing the valve through the groin with a small procedure. The patient doesn't have any scar, doesn't have any surgery, and they can go home the following day. These are some of the two examples of advanced technology, but we have also other examples.
Doctor, I want to do a quick sidebar about blood thinners. It has become very popular for individuals to take a low-dose aspirin, especially if they are in fear, maybe due to family history or other circumstances, of having a cardiac event. Should people seek the advice of a physician before starting a low-dose aspirin regimen?
Well, what the official recommendation is from our societies is that if you have a risk factor for heart disease, very high risk factor for high disease, such as high cholesterol, or you have a blocked arteries, or if somebody, a patient, had a previous heart problem, such as a previous heart attack or a previous blockage in the artery, then it is recommended to go on a baby aspirin or an aspirin, depending. Now, if the patient has no problems, no cardiac problem, no vascular problem, and they are low risk for heart disease, it is not recommended to take a baby aspirin or an aspirin because it may cause bleeding. So if somebody wants to take a baby aspirin or an aspirin, it is best to discuss it with their own physician to determine if they would benefit from the medication versus the risk of taking the medication.
Dr. Mubarak, earlier in the program, you mentioned that there is a wide array of heart conditions that can be covered at the Heart and Vascular Institute at UPMC Hammond in Erie. But are there still any circumstances where a patient has to be sent to Pittsburgh for some type of cardiac treatment?
I mean, we do the majority of the vast majority of cardiovascular procedures are done in Erie without need for any transfer. But every now and then when we encounter very sick people, I can give you an example, such as people who have a very weak hearts, we call that end-stage heart failure. At that time, we're talking about heart transplants. And in order to get a heart transplant, surgical heart transplant, usually we send them to Pittsburgh. Also, we send them to Pittsburgh if they need what we call a bridging therapy between the treatment we offer them and the heart transplant. We call left ventricular assist devices. They are devices implanted surgically to help the heart pump until they get their heart transplant. Then they go to Pittsburgh too. So very advanced heart failure, needing heart transplant, they go to Pittsburgh.
We're talking with Dr. Jean Mubarak, a cardiologist at UPMC's Heart and Vascular Institute in Erie. Doctor, in a previous edition of Business Spotlight a couple of months ago, we talked with UPMC Hammond Emergency Department Medical Director Dr. Chris Camerata about the Minutes Matter initiative. Why is this concept so important?
Yes, and a quick example is if a patient has a cardiac arrest, if a person has a cardiac arrest, time becomes very important. So the earliest intervention is, it is the best chance to save the patient's life and to help the brain recover. So as soon as the patient has an event, such as a heart attack or a cardiac arrest, an early intervention will be very important. And what UPMC Hammett is trying to do is to make the community aware of the importance of the early intervention. And that goes with education and sometimes with training people in doing CPR so they can help people sustain, you know, a circulation until EMS arrive and the transport to the hospital is insured.
I would imagine that you would agree that it is of vital importance for family members to understand the minutes matter concepts if they have a high-risk individual in the family.
I agree 100%. I think if I had any member of my family with a high risk for heart disease, whether they have a heart attacks in the past or they have a weak heart, I would definitely train myself to do CPR and have some kind of a pre-plan to call an emergency, like an emergency plan to take them to the appropriate hospital.
Doctor, last month, Greg Woodman, a 65-year-old State College resident, was running in the Presque Isle Half Marathon. He had a cardiac event where minutes truly mattered. For those that may not be familiar with the story, can you give us some details about it?
Well, I mean, he's a healthy gentleman. He's a regular runner. He ran all his life. He's very healthy. And then what happened on that day, he was getting ready to run the half marathon in Erie, here on Presque Isle. What happened after a few miles, he was running with his kids, who are very healthy young, you know, gentlemen. And then they decided to run ahead of him because they were running faster. A few minutes later, he dropped to the floor. He passed out. He had a cardiac arrest. The lucky thing, relatively speaking, he was lucky that a few feet away, there were a number of runners who were like nurses, and they were very proficient in performing CPR. So they immediately recognized the signs of the cardiac arrest, and they immediately administered CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, and that permitted him to survive until EMS showed up within 5 minutes. At that time, when the EMS showed up, they shocked his heart back to normal, and he was transferred to UPMC Hammett, where we treated him.
And what is Mr. Woodman's prognosis as of today?
Actually, he did very well. He sustained minimal injury to his heart, almost no injury to his brain. Everything is perfectly fine. And we expect him to go back to normal life, including possibly exercising or possibly running the marathon at a later date.
And not only was this incident covered in the local media, I'm sure you're aware that the story was picked up nationally by Inside Edition.
Yes, I'm aware. I mean, I think what happened after, you know, he's fully recovered, he came back with his family, some members of his family, and then he visited the same spot where he passed out, and he met the nurses who helped him survive, who did CPR on him. Then he came over here, and he met the staff who took care of him here, and Inside Edition came with him, and they took some pictures and took some films and interviewed some people with him. And it was a very, very pleasant reunion, I have to say. And that's a prime example of why minutes matter.
Very well said. Dr. Mubarak, let's talk about preventative care. What do we all need to remember, and what are the best practices when it comes to having a heart-healthy lifestyle?
I mean, it's a little bit of a common sense and a little bit of paying attention to some of the guidelines that every now and then you hear on the news or you read in the newspaper or when you surf the web. Essentially, it is to stay healthy. It is to eat right, avoid overweight, avoid high blood pressure, watch the diet, reduce your cholesterol level, and have your routine physical examination. There are a number of measures which I mentioned, like the one I just mentioned. If you follow that, you increase the chances of staying healthy from the cardiac standpoint.
What risk categories should be scheduling a comprehensive heart screening test and evaluation?
If any person, in my opinion, who has risk factor for heart disease, such as high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, or if they had a previous heart disease, they definitely need to have a comprehensive cardiac examination. And the most important thing is if any person has any symptoms of heart disease, such as chest pain, pressure, lightheadedness, fainting, then definitely they need to see to have a comprehensive cardiac examination.
Doctor, I know there's a lot of different screening tests that you could do for patients when it comes to trying to dissect heart issues. Can you just go over a few of them for the listeners? What are some of those procedures going to be like?
Well, I mean, there are a large number of screening we perform. Some of them include blood testing, which will check the cholesterol level and some other blood tests to make sure everything is normal. Other screening, we do also ultrasound of the carotid arteries, which are the arteries taking blood to the brain to make sure there is no blockage there, which is an indication of cholesterol buildup. In addition, we run what we call vital signs to check the blood pressure and the pulse, make sure they are within normal range. See, these are some of the examples we do. If we find any evidence of any, we do an EKG, which is like an electrical measure of the heart. All of these examinations are minimal, don't take much time. And if we see any sign suggestive of a heart disease, then we push and do more comprehensive testing.
Doctor, one more question for you today. Cardiovascular diseases are the leading cause of death globally. What are your parting words for those of us that may be at a higher risk?
I would definitely advise people to stick with the healthy guidelines, such as maintaining a healthy weight, watch your diet to avoid any increase in cholesterol or fat in the blood, watch your blood pressure, and exercise regularly, then you more than likely reduce your chance of having a heart disease.
And once again, we thank Dr. Jean Mubarak, cardiologist at the UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute, for joining us for this month's edition of Business Spotlight featuring UPMC Hammett. If you would like some additional information on a comprehensive heart screening test and evaluation, please call the UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute at 814-877-5600. That's 814-877-5600. Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. You can access today's program or other episodes of Business Spotlight by clicking on the podcast tab on our homepage. Join us again next week as Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron, presents another episode of Barron Talks.